Good morning. Yes, we are past July 4th. We celebrated that the entire weekend, didn't we?
Yes,
absolutely
we did.
Right. And that's if you're going to stick it on a Tuesday, we're going to try to take advantage of Saturday, Sunday, and Monday as well. We know you had a great time at the parade yesterday. I had a chance to see you afterwards. You got to see the kids. And where did you the realtors were involved with that. Were you involved in helping out with the parade as well?
Well, I mean, I would have loved to have been a part of the Bloomington Board of Realtors and their presentation, because that was great with all those balloons. Of course, I've been a member of the Bloomington Board since the 1970s, a very long time. I started selling real estate in the late 70s. However, this year in the parade, I was a part of the Republican Party. We had Jeff Ellington's wonderful... I think it was a 1972 convertible. It really was beautiful, and everybody was shouting out, talking about that convertible. So Rita Barrow and I shared the back seat and was waving at the crowd, so we were happy to do that. It was a hot day, because I parked up near the Elks, so because I knew that's where I was going to end up, at the fish fry, and then walked down to the campus and to get with the parade route, then did the parade route, and then walked back up to the Elks. So that's where I saw you.
That's right.
Walking back, and then did the fish fry, and then after that, I opted to spend some time with my brother and sister-in-law. I hadn't spent a lot of time with them yet this summer, and really enjoyed doing that. And then came home and had a cookout and started putting away everything when great big raindrops came, thinking, well, there goes any fireworks. And then that was it. It was just these huge raindrops, but not very much of it, and then no more rain. So,
well, good. That means everybody up there, they
really
got a chance.
Wet, it didn't happen here.
Well, the folks at the Edgewood Football Stadium hopefully didn't have to deal with that and then lit everything off and had some fun. That was only one of the very few in town. Fireworks displays last night. Everybody kind of was spread out through the weekend. So if you're a fireworks junkie, you could have gone, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and got a deal anywhere. Then obviously everybody else lighting off their stuff
right, and
privately.
From my brother's patio, you could see the Elks of fireworks. So people from all over were watching the Elks of fireworks without actually going there. So let's remember that this is a volunteer group, and they do count on donations. So for those of you who enjoyed the fireworks display without actually going there, there's still the opportunity to drop off donations at the fire station.
They'll take those all year long. Absolutely right, to put on that big show. And the Elks yesterday, also their fish fry, Marty, was supporting a great charity cause as well.
Absolutely, and this year they had such a great response and so many people there that they literally ran out of fish. Instead of getting in the line,
that's awesome.
I'm visiting with people and so forth, and I'm thinking, I'll wait until the line gets down so there won't be, and then I'll get in the line. And then I heard, oh, they're running out of fish. I was sitting next to a family with a little boy who had fish on his plate, and he really wasn't very hungry, so they were so kind, they said, here.
Sure.
And so I did get to taste the fish, and it was wonderful.
Well, that's great if they were busy enough to have everybody eat it all, buy it all, and then that's going to help out some cancer research as well.
Yes, it was a great day. July 4th around here is always special. And I'm thinking, if I was standing in the shade, Margaret, I might not have been too hot, but I'm telling you, it was pretty hot up there in that car.
Yeah, that was my feeling, too, and honestly, that's why we ended up under a
Well, that's why we went early. There's been times where we've walked in 1 minute before the parade started. This year, we went early because we wanted to make sure we had a nice place in the shade there on 7th Street. Marty Hawk is our guest this morning. She joins us. And shade is always better than sunshine. We've been I've been with you in the near the parade before, Marty, down by the Elks, where we were in the shade by the parking garage. You've got to play your cards.
Let me tell you what, the amazing thing is, just like you said, the beginning of the parade, there's a lot of people lined up there. And in the past, there was much more combining of people close to the courthouse. And now it really is spread throughout the town to the parade route. And so there's a lot of places that you can find that will be in the shade and be able to enjoy this parade and not really feel like there's not enough room to get to see it. So it's a wonderful opportunity for coming together, this community, and boy, we sure do need it with some of the bad news we've had in the last week or so. So I was just really happy to see that we can still come together and celebrate the birth of our nation. So
241 years, the
Absolutely.
U.S. of A. And obviously we've had more issues on, I don't want to say on Kirkwood. I don't think that's fair. That's where some of the result finishes, sure. But epidemic, crisis, whichever word you want to use, at what point, Marty, does the government have to step in and perhaps, I don't know, what's the next step in this? Because we've seen, hey, is it bad? Well, we know it's bad batches of drugs. We know it's people that are bringing those into town, the end user. There's so many different layers of problems there. Where do you even start to address this?
Well, it seems to me at the very least, we'll see, I would expect to see some of the solutions coming from the Justice Building and our entire justice system for Monroe County, which includes probation, which includes assistance in ways from mental health and so forth. So I would not be at all surprised to see that they'll be putting their heads together and working to see what they need to do to try to make sure the criminal element that's causing so much of this problem, that will be addressed. Because I think we all know this is really not a homeless problem. This has criminal elements having to do with this, because we've been told that some of the other counties are literally shipping in to Monroe County some of their problems. And so
how does that work? Because I'm not familiar with how the term shipping in means. They don't have services to help people in these other counties, so they suggest or physically transport
Sometimes
them?
Sometimes they physically transport them right to the county edge.
How does that work? That's legal?
I believe from what I've been told by some of the other officials that went to evidently some meetings or something, and that this was literally, they have been bussed in. Now, what the answer to that is, and I'm not just making this up out of whole cloth, that was a statement made by another council member, and he had been to meetings about this. So that was Eric Sumor, who had mentioned that in the Herald Times. So that situation then would have to be a part of the whole justice system if what they're actually doing is sending us their problems, not having to do with just people who need services for addictions, but perhaps those that are whether or not they're the criminal element. And that was pretty much the statement. And believe me, I am not an expert on this. What we will be facing is how are we going to address the monetary solution?
Right, because that's what the county government does, right? You have to pay for the solution.
Yeah, somebody's going to have to pay for the services. So those people who understand how to put programs together or how to address it through the justice system will come to the county council to say this is what we need, and then we will have to address that. Certainly, it cannot be covered just with Monroe County government. This is going to have to be assistance in some way from the state in order for us to address that. And so I just will want to be a part of the solution of making sure that we address this situation, because we cannot allow it to continue to fester. As we saw in the paper, there were more drug overdoses again just yesterday, right there in one inside the shelter and one right outside the shelter. So
what is the quid pro quo with other counties on let's say that Margaret County is dropping off people at Marty's County? Do you call them up and say, hey, cut it out?
It doesn't
take them back. Well, why are they allowed to bring them, and why are we required to accept them, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
We don't have to accept them, Glass, but the fact is, if they walk into our county, then they're our problem.
Right. I mean, you know, we don't have something that says put a sign up and say don't come to our county. So
no, we don't have a big fence around it or anything. And the fact of the matter is, when you have over 200 not-for-profit agencies and you have all these services, and these other counties don't, it wouldn't even require them to, quote, bus them in. A lot of them are just going to wander in here on their own.
Well, and we remember years ago when we addressed taking care of juveniles and making sure they got
right.
the treatment and so forth, that was when we had what we used to call the welfare budget that we paid for here locally. And our system made sure that rather than sending young people off to lock up and detention, we sent them off to treatment to try to get their situation turned around. We saw families moving in to Monroe County from all over so that their young people, their family members could get treatment rather than being locked up. I'm not certain that's what's going on here, but it may be that kind of feeling. Well, there's the help there, Monroe County, so let's go there. But once again, I said this is going to have to be a lot of experts coming together that know what they're doing with this.
Right, and I think there's
to work out the solution. It's certainly not going to be something that the county council happens to be an expert on. What we'll be looking at is whatever they bring to us that says, help us with this.
No, I think you're right, because it's not as simple as just having Margaret and I talked about this on Monday. It's not as simple as having just a one law system or a one declaration that's going to fix all this.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the climate here, why is the first question is, why is everyone coming here? And if it is because of the services, well, then that's going to have to be part of it. And then the people that are coming here with the criminal element, then that's going to be another part of it. And yeah, it's and all this costs money. We've already seen the strain on the city with their police department and their resources having to move and shuffle them around. So It's not an easy situation. There's no doubt about it.
And that brings us right back to the public safety tax, which is on our plate right now to decide how the dollars are going to be split up. And remember that the Central Dispatch is asking for a great deal more of that money out of that pot, which then makes it, if that happens, then there's going to be less money coming in that would go out to the fire departments out in the county. Well, many of those fire departments are the first responders for when they get a call from 911, help that somebody's overdosed. That's not always going to be downtown Bloomington.
Right. It's not on Kirkwood every day. That's exactly right.
And it's also, if you do need, you're going to need people in Central Dispatch, but you're also going to need help out there in the first responders. So that will be on the county council's plate, but the city
can
council
you suggest
will really
they,
have majority rule as to how that dollar is going to be split up.
Now, do you suggest how that dollar could be split up differently, or do you just say simply yes or no?
They'll bring the income tax council committee will be meeting to decide whether or not they're going to suggest dollars for the fire departments, or they may say, no, if we're going to do this additional amount for Central Dispatch or for these radios, we're not going to give to the fire departments. that committee, that separate committee, and there's some from the city council, some from the county council, and one from, I think, one or two from Ellisville, and they will gather together to decide what they are going to recommend. Their vote is not final. Then they'll bring that recommendation to the county council and the city council for that final vote, and also to Ellisville, as to how to split up that money. So
so it's not a specific use. It
can
be more of a suggestion.
A part of the solution as to how we address what pot of money we have and where that's going to go to help this situation. And remember, this is not the only problem we have in all of Monroe County. We still have to provide fire protection. We still have to provide for law enforcement in many other ways. So that's what the public safety tax is all about.
Marty, why is it that the state set up these kind of taxes in a way that automatically means that the urban city areas are going to have 90%? Well, I mean, as far as I can tell, they have all of the control. Why did they not set it up and say, okay, this part of the tax goes to the city, they make a decision. This part goes to the county, they make this part of the decision.
Well, it's all tied to population, and we are not.
I understand that, Marty, but my point.
Simply because the Income Tax Council is made up of the city, the county, also so forth, and their
and
vote.
And the city is always going to have majority
tied
vote.
To population. However, and this was the part I wanted to make clear, that is because we used to be a county option income tax county. There were other counties that were CAGIC counties. That's county adjusted gross income tax. The reason why that's important is the CAGIC counties, they weren't set up with an income tax council. It was set up more that the county was in charge, so that it was a situation where the umbrella of how to split up the money was more having to do with the county, which represents everybody, whereas the COIT counties, income tax counties, were set up according to population vote. And so if they changed all of those laws and they put it together and now there's not these separate tax councils, why are we still going under the rule for the COIT counties?
Yeah, I agree.
That may be able to be addressed at the state level so that it will no longer be totally up to the counties that have a large city that is in total control of this. Now, many of the counties, the county council is still in control of money. So we'll see.
All right, Marty, anything else for us this morning here on a Wednesday holiday? Well, it's not a holiday, but it feels like it, doesn't
it? Well, it is. it is July 5th and time to get back to work. And so that's what we're doing. And
no breaks till Labor Day.
Yes, but there's a lot of work to be done between now and then. And, you know, we'll be getting ready now soon for the fair. And many of the families are preparing to be involved at the fair and getting their animals ready.
Fair's a new time this year, isn't it?
I don't have that date in front of me.
Well, it's new. I'm pretty sure it's new.
It's like,
yeah,
that'll
be your homework.
It's going to be here before we know it. So,
that'll be your homework for next Wednesday. You need to tell me when the Monroe County Fair is going to start, because I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive that the fair has a new time. But we'll look that up here momentarily. We appreciate your time as always. Happy birthday, America. Thanks for spending it with us yesterday and today.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Have a wonderful day, Marty.